I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life.
It is a good life today serving the Lord. Thank you for joining me once again. In John chapter 21, we're going to read with verses 1 through 15. Now, we may not read the entire chapter, but in this chapter, we see seven discouraged apostles. And we also see how that Jesus reestablished contact by the Sea of Galilee. Let me invite you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On that website, you'll be able to download free transcripts of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. These are absolutely free. If you'd like a written transcript, you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida. Now, it's the number is 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You can also go on that website and leave us prayer requests, look at Bible study helps, and also you can leave us some of your answered prayers. We want to rejoice with you. If you've recently been saved, go on that website or write to me and request free information on the salvation that you've received, how that God wants the best for you, and that you have the best through the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one can take that from you because you have trusted the Lord as your Savior. In John chapter 21, in verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Now here are the seven discouraged apostles. Jesus is reestablishing contact with them. And these apostles must have been hungry with a threefold hunger. First, there was a physical hunger after a long night of strenuous toil. Remember, they fished all night and they had caught nothing. And then we see that there must have been an emotional hunger from prolonged frustration and failure. All of these apostles had forsaken Jesus. All of these apostles had wandered away, and they had heard things before Jesus had departed from them on the cross and he was buried, and of course he was resurrected, but they were still looking at some of the things as a human, as you and I might look at things, and we sometimes don't understand what's going on around us with the Lord, and no man can understand fully the workings of God, but we get a somewhat understanding, clear understanding through the Spirit of God, through his word. But there's still things that we don't understand, and this is where these apostles were at this time. They had a spiritual hunger. They not only had that spiritual hunger, the emotional hunger and physical hunger, but we see that separation from Christ produces this spiritual hunger. They had been separated from their Lord. Now the Lord's breakfast, which satisfied all the hunger of these men, must have been one of the most heartwarming experiences of their lives. Now, if you read this chapter of John 21, you'll see how that Jesus told them after they had toiled all night, he said, "Now cast on the other side of the boat and you'll catch fish." They did. They brought those fish to shore, and Jesus, he actually prepared breakfast that morning for these apostles, and it was heartwarming. How vividly they remembered the last previous meal, and this would have been the establishing of the Lord's Supper, how they remembered this with their Lord in the blessed togetherness of that upper room. This must have brought back memories. How empty their lives had been without his presence. How wonderful was his return to their midst, and how comforting the assurances which came with the restoration of that fellowship. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things with me. First of all, notice his concern for every drifting disciple. He does not give us up when we become unfaithful. He does not leave us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says in Romans chapter 8, he says, what's going to separate us from, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, what can separate us from Jesus? And he goes ahead to answer that and says, nothing can separate us, not even ourselves. One of the most amazing attributes of the Savior is his patience with us and his readiness to cleanse and forgive us again and again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. The pastor, facing his church family on Sunday, finds it sobering indeed to see persons with burdens and heartaches of which only he is aware. But how thrilling to note the presence of dedicated persons who had drifted but had been restored and warmed over, like those seven apostles by the Sea of Galilee. It's heartwarming to see a person who's drifted away from the Lord and then they've come back into the fold to serve him anew once again. Notice Christ's concern. He showed concern for Peter, who had so shamefully denied him just before the crucifixion. You can go back and you can read this, how that when he was confronted by those around just before Jesus was crucified, how that he had denied the Lord. And the Lord had told him before, he said, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And of course, Peter didn't understand it when Christ told him that, but later on he remembered how that Christ had said that. But notice, on the morning of his resurrection, on the morning of the Lord's resurrection, he sent word. He said, tell Peter. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a Lord of forgiveness. He's a Savior of forgiveness. Not only does he forgive unto salvation to bring that person to a saving knowledge of Jesus, of himself, but he also restores that person who has trusted him as Savior when they have drifted away and they have gotten away from him. They haven't lost their salvation, but they've lost that joy that Jesus gives to every person who follows him. Now, Jesus followed the disciples to the Sea of Galilee. He is the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, he follows and he finds that lost sheep, that one who has gone astray, and he will look for that lost sheep and he will do everything he can to bring that sheep back into the fold, not for salvation, but because that person has been saved. That sheep has drifted away and Jesus wants them to come back. He sends message after message through his appointed messengers, his disciplines and promptings of the conscience. He says, come back to me. Come to me, all you that work and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not only talking to the unsaved person there, he's talking to that person who has trusted him as Savior, and they're having such a hard time without him. But he says, come back to me. And notice something else about the Lord, his power to save from failure. He had told them in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. And now these apostles knew that for sure because they had toiled all night and caught nothing. They had been fishing on the wrong side of the boat until Jesus came along. John chapter 21 and verse 6. Building a good life, a happy home, a great society is impossible without the Lord. And we're seeing the results of that today in our country, in our land, in our world, that people are trying to do things without the Lord. They're actually leaving him out. They're taking the words "In God We Trust" off of our money. They're trying to, and if we don't do something, they will do that. And as we see our country, our world, without the Lord, we're seeing failure on every side. Apart from Christ, one might gain the whole world and lose his own soul, according to Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. A person can live in destitution and lose his own soul, or he can be rich and lose his own soul. Many a destitute person might have his needs supplied through Christ, and many a millionaire might be saved from the curse of forbidden wealth if they would only trust in the Lord Jesus. He came not to deprive, but to enrich lives, not to limit, but to enlarge, according to John chapter 10 and verse 10. And notice finally with me about this scripture in John chapter 21. Notice Christ's ability to provide for his own. With his own hands he prepared breakfast, according to verse 12. The needs were never unmet. Notice they had fish for breakfast. Notice in Matthew chapter 17 how that the coin was taken out of the fish's mouth. A boat was supplied in Luke chapter 5 and verse 3. A beast of burden was supplied in Mark chapter 11 and verse 2. An upper room was found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 15. A prepared sepulcher for our Lord is seen in John chapter 19. Nothing is by accident with the Lord. No person is saved by accident. No person goes through this life with the Lord by saying that it was an accident that I found him. No, Jesus found you if you're saved, and he's looking for that person today who's listening who does not know him as Lord and Savior. He wants you to come to him today. Now notice that person who is out of the will of God today. He has a longing to reinstate every drifting disciple. Have you drifted apart from the Lord today? Have you let down our Savior? Are you living for him today? May each of us say, with those who found him, whom Jesus found, my Lord and my God, I want to serve you. You know, there's a song that a man by the name of Charles Widmeyer wrote around 1906, and it's true today. It goes like this. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. He's calling you today. If you do not know him as Savior, he wants you to be saved. Call upon his name right now. Ask him to come into your heart. Trust him as your Savior, and he'll save you. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's to them who call upon his name and receive him. If you've gotten away from the Lord, come back to him today and let him lead you through the rest of your life until we see him in the air. And he says, come up hither. And we go to be with him forever. Serve him today and the rest of your life. May the Lord bless you today is my prayer. And I'll be looking forward to seeing you next week. At least I'll be talking to you. I won't see you, but I'll be looking forward to the time we will spend together again at this same time next week. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
Living right has given me much more.